Happy Sabbath, everyone. I don't know about you, but at least with me, every day I had to figure out what I'm going to wear. No clue what I'm going to be wearing. Even on Sabbath day, I have to take a moment to figure out, okay, what did I wear last week? I don't want to wear the same suit or same tie. It's nice that I can wear a white shirt. I have multiple white shirts that I can wear. But it's something that goes into our minds a lot of times, you know, to kind of inspire us or help us to figure out, navigate, what am I to wear? Maybe check the weather. Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be raining? Is it going to be cold? Where am I going to go today? Or what am I going to be doing that has an impact in what I'm going to be wearing? All these questions tend to apply. And something that I tend to add to is what kind of example am I giving? Because unfortunately, nowadays, you know, clothing are a little too short or a little too low, or there's, it seems like they're battling of how little clothing or fabric you can wear and still seem somewhat presentable. But that's not the example that we are to give as Christians. I remember growing up, my sister and my mom, they would always show what they're wearing to see what the men in the house had to say. And we might say, okay, it's good, or we're like, we don't know about the shirt or the skirt or this or that. So it's always something that we are thinking about when it comes to what we are going to wear. And, you know, forget about like shoes. That's a whole nother topic. I know I have different shoes for various different occasions. I'm not gonna wear my dress shoes, which if I'm gonna go hiking, or if I'm gonna be working outside, I'm not gonna be wearing my regular everyday kind of shoe, because it has a different purpose for what it has. There's even an entire industry that is focused on creating different styles and that of styles of clothing and garments that apply to various different needs that we may have. And in some ways, they are pushing to a certain direction. And so we need to, as Christians, we need to be careful for that. But this idea of wearing clothes, wearing garments, wearing fabric to cover our bodies, it came from the Word of God. Back in Genesis, after the fall of Adam and Eve had sinned, is where this idea of us finding things to cover ourselves came from. Because before then, they didn't need to worry about that. God had covered them with a robe of light. And so it protected them, it provided the function. It was probably the best thing, anything that you can come up with. And you never have to worry about washing, never have to worry about wearing out and have to get a new one. It would last you for eternity. But this idea concept came right after Adam and Eve had sinned. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, it's not like they went and figured out, oh, you know, there's this white little round ball, I can turn it into, which is cotton, turn it into some kind of thing to create a fabric. I didn't look at this sheep and, oh, maybe I can get the hair from the sheep and create some kind of wool. They didn't think of that. They just saw these massive leaves, let's sew them together and cover ourselves. What impact would that really have in our bodies? First of all, it didn't cover much. And knowing that they had sinned, the impact that had against the world was enormous. It changed the weather, it changed the behavior of the animals, it changed everything. So how much of those figs, were, first of all, how long would they last? Once it dries up, it's easy for it to disintegrate and go away. So it wouldn't last very long. I give it a day, maybe two. How much would it protect? You know, it wouldn't protect much. If anything, it wouldn't protect at all. But that kind of mentality, we still see that today in fashion, right? This idea of fast fashion, I don't know if you heard of that. It's where they come out with a new design, immediately it's on the shelves. This, it doesn't last very long. You come back after a couple of weeks to the same store and it's a brand new type of design and styles there. The fabric is not made to last because they want you to quickly exchange that and get new stuff. It's not as expensive as designer. It's not as cheap, let's say, as if you go to like Walmart or something like that, but in terms of the price, but the quality may not last. But the purpose is a quick change. You only wear it once, maybe twice, get rid of it, and get a new style that is there. This idea of fashion where, you know, again, very little fabric to cover, a lot of it doesn't, it's more about looking than about the function that it may have upon you. I've seen people, especially up north where I grew up, where it is cold in winter, even in spring and fall, it is cold. You want to protect yourself from the weather, and yet to look fashionable, they'll sacrifice being cold, and they're shaking. You can tell their skin is changing color, but they want to look good. And that has an impact because of the look that they want to have. We don't seem to have a good understanding of what it means to protect and cover ourselves. In Genesis, going back to Genesis chapter 3, in verse 21, it says, "Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." So again, what Adam and Eve had come up with was not going to work, was not going to last, was not going to provide the protection they need, the function that clothes are supposed to have, it was not going to do anything. God then stepped in and said, "Let me show you how this is supposed to be done." And we can look back even throughout Genesis 1 and 2. It is God that made that first step. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the vegetation. God created the environment perfect for us to live and live an eternal life filled with all the things we need to last us for eternity. Not only the things that are here on earth, but also that interaction with God. God would come in the cool of the day to be able to interact and spend time with us. It is God that made that first step and gave us that example. It is God that worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day for us to follow. It is God that showed us, oh, these are the fruits and vegetables you have to eat for us to follow them soon after. It is God that made that step, not us. But when we do it, like trying to find this way of clothing, protecting ourselves, it was not the right thing to do. So who better and who best for us to know than our own Creator? His example is the one we are to follow in our lives. But aside from the physical, there's a spiritual aspect as well. Adam and Eve representing us, they tried to cover themselves. In other words, tried to cover their sin, because they have sinned. And they, whatever was covering them was no longer there. And so they were ashamed. They were trying to cover themselves. In other words, they were working for their salvation. But what God showed them soon after is that it is He who is our Savior and covered their nakedness, their sin. God provided their salvation by grace. So spiritually, in some ways, we are doing the same thing and not realize. We think we're fine and okay, and we think, oh, I know what I need to do, but we make similar mistakes. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 22, speaks about the lukewarm church. If you ever study the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it covers the span of the Christian church, from the time of the apostles to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're in the seventh church, last one. That's it. There's no more. So this is it. We're at the end. And there, this lukewarm church, representing that last period of church at the end before Christ returns, the churches not only provides the condition the church is on, but also provides what we can do, or what can be done, I should say, for us to overcome that. So this lukewarm church is the condition the church is on, but it also tells us what each of us can do in order to get out of this lukewarm spiritual state. We think that we're okay. We think we're fine. We are rich. We have lots of goods. We don't need of anything. That's our attitude towards God. That's very similar to Adam and Eve. We got salvation. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. I don't need to worry. I'm good. I'm okay. But what's the problem? Going to Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, Christ mentions how poor, blind, and of course, naked we are. He says, "I counsel thee." He's not forcing us. He's not grabbing onto it and saying, "You must do this." No, he says, "I counsel thee," because it's our choice, "to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." Which is weird. If he's telling us that we're poor, how can we afford to buy something that will help us be rich? In Now, if I have the money to be able to buy it, to make me rich, am I rich already to be able to purchase that? I mean, if I can afford to buy, for instance, Rolls Royce, I'm already rich. Rolls Royce is not, you know, a few hundred dollars. It's a very expensive vehicle, especially if I want all the bells and whistles on it. But here God is telling us something that seems strange and impossible. If he's saying that I'm poor, how can I afford something in order to be rich? But this is the point that he's trying to make. And I'll get to that in a second. And he says, and continues there in verse 18. He says, not only to buy gold, tried in the fire, that we may be rich, and white raiment, that they may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. In other words, similar to what happened to Adam and Eve, God wants us to have the proper garment, the proper clothing, and he's asking us to buy it from him. And he says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. So then what is God asking? I don't have money. He's saying I'm poor. How can I afford it? If I'm not supposed to work for my salvation, then what am I supposed to be doing? Well, God is not asking for money, but our hearts. To surrender our hearts and minds to God. That's what he's asking for. Because when God provided that clothing for Adam and Eve, he didn't force it upon them. They were willing. They understood they made the mistake. They understood, because if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, when they had sinned and they realized the state that they were in, they went to try to work for their salvation. Then God then came in, provided the investigation, then passed judgment. Then they repented, and God then provided them with the clothing. Their hearts were surrendered to the Lord. God is asking the same for us. We may be thankful for their salvation, but are we working for everything else? Because salvation entirely is not just simply accepting Christ, I'm saved, that's the end of the story. It's not. Because Christ didn't just die on the cross and that's it. He has been working in heaven, preparing a place for us. He's working in our hearts to get our life in order, to get rid of sin in our lives. He can't do that if all we just want is just to be saved and that's it. Because if it was just that, then it makes no difference of the Ten Commandments. It made no difference, really, God even dying on the cross and everything else he does after, because you can continue to do whatever you want to do. That's the deception that is out there. Just believe in Christ and continue to do whatever you want to. Christ wants a transformed life, but he's not going to force it upon us. He will guide us step by step. But continue, because it's not just verse 18, also verse 19. He says that, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. It's not that only those who he loves are those that are doing the right thing. He says he loves us. And because he loves us, there are times he needs to discipline us. Because he loves us, there are times he needs to let us know, hey, you got off the track, get back in line. Because he loves us, he lets us know that we're poor, blind, and naked. So what God is telling us, that what we are wearing is not good enough to cover us, especially to cover our sin. No matter what we do, it's not enough to get rid of sin in our lives. 1 John verse 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we accept Christ as our Savior, it's him covering us with his robe of righteousness. But what's underneath that robe? Still filthy rags. He's still dirty. God still needs to cleanse us. But that robe of righteousness is that big first step that we all have taken and we all need to take if we haven't. In Psalms 51, verse 7, it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's not that I haven't accepted you as my Savior. It's that I have, but I'm still dirty under that beautiful robe of righteousness. And God will then wash me whiter than snow. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red with crimson, they shall be as wool. Because God needs us, and this is the author there acknowledging and understanding the condition that they're in. Yes, I've been saved, but I'm still dealing with this issue of sin. I still have these sins in my life, and it is admitting and realizing I need to continually surrender my heart to the Lord so He can wash me clean. In Psalms 51:2 says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Not partially, but thoroughly, completely. I remember sometimes we have animals that we take care of, and we have these containers where we give them water. They easily and quickly dirty it up. It's very easy, especially in the moment, to just a quick turn of it, get rid of where they would drink water, for them to be able to continue drinking for the moment. But we need a moment to come back, to take it apart and thoroughly clean it. We usually do it almost every day, but we thoroughly clean it so they have make sure they have clean water for them to drink. That is what God needs us from us, that we come to Him not just a partial clean, or just forgive for just a few sins, but to cleanse me completely, thoroughly from all our sins. That is the goal of Christ in our lives. Yes, He has saved you in your sin, but it is to then cleanse you and purify you from your sins. His garment isn't the end of your salvation, but the beginning. He brings you to Himself as you are, then as you learn to trust and obey, transform you, giving you victory over every sin and temptation in your life. In Mark chapter 6, verse 56, it says, "Whatsoever He entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought Him that they might touch, if it were but the border of His garment, and as many as touched Him were made whole." I found it interesting that it's, you know, many others brought those who were sick. What about themselves? You know, it's very easy to say, oh, just take care of those who are physically sick. I'm okay. That might be a case up to a certain point, but we all need help from the Lord. It could be mentally, it could be spiritually. We all need help from God. But what I learned from there is that there was no human garment, no material thing that can truly and fully heal us, except Christ in His garment, which is His righteousness. As much as the professionals and the pros did to try to help them in their condition, whether it be physically or spiritually, it wasn't enough until they had an encounter with Jesus, until it was Christ that was in their hearts that transformed them, that they truly found full healing. Remember that God is asking from us is our surrender, hearts and our minds. There was a man who wanted to be made whole, healed, and was called by Jesus to come near to him. In Mark chapter 10, verse 50, it says, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." He gave up his old self. That garment that he laid down when he got up, it was his old self. And he went fully to surrender to God, and he went to Jesus. Jesus called him over. He wanted to come close to Jesus, and no one let him. No one allowed him to come close. It was actually a blind man. But it wasn't until Jesus called him that he would then came forward towards him. But he didn't come, "Let me grab all my stuff with me and come meet, go to Jesus." He left his stuff back. He left his old things back, his old self, and came and surrendered to Christ. And Christ then healed him fully, wholly. We are also called to come to Jesus. And as that man, we too need to cast away our garment and allow Christ to cover us with His. Now, today, it's time to surrender our lives and our hearts and minds to Jesus fully. Now, while there is still time, while there's still peace, we know that in Revelation chapter 13, there's a prediction of a persecution coming to this world. Those who reject the mark of the beast, we know that we don't want that. We want the seal of God. We want to stay faithful to the Lord. But we can't wait for that time to get our lives in order with the Lord. Now is the time when there's peace. And I say peace in terms of what is predicted is going to occur. But as we learn from this lesson, we go through trials and tribulations every day. We are struggling through our lives in various different facets. And God is promised us, and He had told us, He is willing to give us victory over all of that. Now is the time to exercise our faith, to strengthen our faith, so when that time comes, it's just another trial. No big deal. When Daniel faced the lion, then for him, it was another trial. And if we know from the beginning of Daniel's life, especially in Babylon, his faith was constantly tested, and he kept strengthening his faith, trusting upon the Lord, focusing upon God. And when that big trial came, it was just another trial for him. And he continued to do what he normally did, focus upon God. We are told in Matthew chapter 24 about what will take place before the second coming of Jesus. All these landmarks letting us know we're getting close to the end. And we are getting close to the end. There's not much left to be predicted that to come true. There's a section there that talks about how we will also need to flee to the mountains. There's a time that God will call us, no matter how we are to be living already in a country, living in the country, but there are a time will come that even there, God will call us to leave to the mountains, to the caves. He'll have a place prepared for all of us. And so God tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 17 to 18, he says, "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." A lot of times we're thinking of something physical, and it kind of always thought into my mind, if you're out in the field, at least I've been working outside a lot of times at home, I'm fully clothed. I don't need to go back to get my garments to go. But we're focusing a lot of times on the physical, but it's more on the spiritual, based on what we've been already going over so far. We don't have time to go back to be transformed. We don't have time to go back and be covered in Christ's righteousness. We should have already been ready. So it's not that we had to wait until, when Christ tells me that it's time for me to flee, that's when I'll surrender my heart. No, we need to have been working on it now. Because in that time, there's no time to go back. There's no time to, I need to start studying about Revelation 13 and what's going to happen. No, we should have already known and already recognized the voice of our shepherd and just go when he tells us to go. Let us not wait until it's too late. Take the time to learn today to depend upon God and surrender fully our hearts and minds to him, because salvation is at hand. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning message that you've given us, Lord, to help us realize that we need of you, Lord, every day to be washed, to be made whole, Lord, to be cleansed completely from all our sins, and to have victory over every sin and temptation in our lives. As we learn from this week's lesson about how we do face trials and tribulations, Lord, but the purpose of it is to strengthen our faith, to look up to you, to focus upon you, Lord, that it is you that provides us with everything that we need in our lives, and it is you that we need to continue to be dependent upon. Help us and continue, Lord, to transform our lives and prepare us for what is to come. That yes, there'll be hardship coming, Lord, but let's not lose focus of your soon return. Thank you for this wonderful Sabbath you bless us with, and lead us, Lord, that in this rest of this Sabbath day, that we continue in our walk with you and in fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.